are listening to the INCJ podcast, Conversations about International Criminal Justice.
Okay, so in today's discussion, we are focusing on women in the criminal justice system. This discussion is part of the News Desk 2024 that is organized by the International Network for Criminal Justice. And the topic is the role of women in the criminal justice system and their experiences within the criminal justice system. And today we are joined by Julie and Rose, who have experience in the field. Rose and Julie, would you like to say a little bit about you?
Okay, so my name's Rose Morrison. And I am a senior lecturer at De Montfort University, and I've been an academic now for 7 years. Prior to that, I've got a practice background. I worked within the criminal justice system, mostly in probation, different levels of the organisation. And I have always had an interest in working with women, women, we say offenders, but women who experience the criminal justice system. As a practitioner and a senior manager, had strategic responsibilities for women who experience the criminal justice system.
Thank you, Rose. Julie?
Hello, I'm Julie Eden Barnard. I'm a senior lecturer in community justice at De Montfort University. I've been working in academia for just over 5 years now, and prior to that was a probation practitioner in Hampshire, where I spent the latter part of my career focusing on working with women. And that sparked an interest for me in trying to understand the evidence base that underpins working with women better. And that sort of kickstarted my journey into academia, really. I undertook a master's of research that was exploring women's experiences of community justice. And that's a research an area of research interest for me.
Thank you. Thank you, Julie. So talking about research, and in particular research on women in the criminal justice system, why do you think it is important to prioritize research and discussion with women issues in the criminal justice system?
I think it's important in some ways, really, really simply, just because women and men experience the world differently. And so we need to have an awareness of what those differences are, so that our services, so that our communities, so that our infrastructure can appropriately respond to the needs of different people. I don't know if it's any more complex than that.
From my point of view, I think it's important. I think we have a lot of research around women's issues in the criminal justice system in the UK, let's say. It's important to prioritise the discussions around it because I think that we know a lot about women and the issues that they face within the criminal justice system, the disparities around their offending, but we still are in a position of not really addressing some of those issues. So I think the priority is, of course, understanding the research, and the priority for the criminal justice system, I would say, is looking at addressing some of those issues. Some of the findings from the research that we already have, we need to implement some of those, if not all of the findings around how women are treated by the courts, in prisons, on probation, those sorts of things. It would be my view.
Thank you. Thank you. Are there any new topics emerging from a research perspective in relation to women in the criminal justice system, or specific areas that you believe needs further research or exploration?
My initial response to the first question was no, I don't think there are any emerging topics. And I think some of my rationale for that is that when you start exploring the literature, you know, you can go back years. You can go back to Elizabeth Fry, so that's what, 200 years ago. You can look at the evidence from different countries, and I think the themes are quite consistent in terms of women's experiences in the criminal justice system. Then I kind of thought that response is really dismissive and does a disservice to a lot of the amazing research that's being produced. And so I guess I would answer that question slightly differently and kind of think about the research itself. And I would say that in many ways, the difference, I think, is that there are a lot more researchers that are committed to adopting ways and methods of researching that produce that it's more fair and more equitable. So because it's centering women within that, it's acknowledging power dynamics in research. It's acknowledging women's experiences of oppression. And therefore, there is a lot more collaboration. There is a lot more co-design. There is a lot more co-creation. And so there is a more sort of fair and equitable body of research that's emerging. And I think that that gives us something very different and very rich. It amplifies voices that have previously been marginalised. And also, I think that because it's coming from that feminist research praxis, there's a commitment to challenging status quo. There's a commitment to social justice and for a more fair, equitable society. So I think for me, that's exciting, particularly as an early career researcher, that I can kind of see more creative research methods being used. I can see much more participatory research methods being used, and that's really exciting. And I think perhaps if I was to step into this, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago, without that being there, I'm not sure that I would have felt confident as a researcher to kind of try and step into that space. Whereas because I feel that I'm surrounded by peers that are researching in that way, it definitely fits with what I believe in terms of my own value base. But it feels nice that I feel that I've got peers that share that value base. So I think that's really exciting in terms of research. And I think it's then that body of research on its own, it forms part of a resistance, doesn't it? It forms part of challenging a status quo, because we're saying research doesn't have to look like this. It can look like this, and it can also be valid. So I've slightly dodged answering the question, but I saw the response in that, in those two ways.
Thank you. Thank you, Julie.
I think that's the exciting thing for me. If you look at Lucy Baldwin's work, I think more researchers are female researchers are being bold to center their research in that feminist framework, which I'm not sure is more explicit now than ever before, which we find really exciting. And I think not necessarily new topics, but I think it's more the co-creation, the user voice, in researchers are bringing into their work, and they really think it's important. We do that people that are using the service, let's say, or are using it within the criminal justice, caught up within the criminal justice system, have a voice, have something to say about the research that we're undertaking, and particularly Black women's voices, women's voices that are not usually being heard, are now being heard. And that's really important. And it's really, I would say it's exciting, it's timely that marginalized voices are now coming to the fore, and we're talking about that in our research.
Yes, that's a good point. Thank you, Rose. And as a researcher and professional yourself in the field of criminal justice, do you think that there are specific barriers that women face in advancing their career in the criminal justice field?
You go, Ros.
No, you.
I mean, this is, yes, I think there are barriers. They're the barriers that women have always faced, because organisations within the system are not really geared up necessarily for women in the workplace for all different reasons. Women with families, carers, that they've always been barriers for women to progress, and they continue to be barriers. For example, it's still quite difficult for women in senior management positions to maybe job share or work part time. This is something that is not, I don't see that. And You know, so women that want to progress their careers and actually move up that ladder, there are a number of barriers or a number of things that they may need to compromise on in order to progress their careers. So I don't know if I'm being very clear. So it's basically, it's still very difficult. And as you overlay intersectionality on women's experiences, the barriers become even more pronounced, I would say.
Yeah, I think I would agree with you, Roz, as well. And I think if I reflect on my sort of own journey, there are lots of points in that journey that I've felt that I'm in a position where I have to choose between my family commitments and my work commitments. And it's really tough, isn't it? And I don't think that our workplaces are, they don't center that experience, do they? And they don't respond to that experience. And I don't think go enough to enable women to do those things. I'm just trying to remind myself of the question.
So the question was, as a researcher, what barriers do you think women face in advancing their career? But yes, yeah, I think you made your point, actually, balancing like family with working life and career is very, very challenging. Yes. So moving now to the issues of women in prison and probation. In what ways do you think the needs and experiences of women differ from those of men?
Do you want me to go first, Roz? Yeah, I mean, we know that women's pathways into offending and pathways out of offending differ significantly. And so we need to make sure that our services are responding to that. So the most recent female offender strategy talks about the criminal justice system being gender responsive and trauma informed. And I still think that that's the best that we know at this point. So gender responsive, I think, has kind of gone by the wayside. There's a lot of talk about being trauma informed and we're forgetting about the gender responsive bit. And that is really about centering women's experiences. And it's without that understanding, I think it's very difficult to then be trauma informed. So the trauma informed bit follows, because particularly when we're looking at women involved in the criminal justice system, we know that experiences of trauma are so significant in terms of women's pathways into offending, and that generally that's about relational trauma. So generally it's about violence that is perpetrated by men who are telling, you know, the very men that tell women that they love them. And that's it's very unique to women's experiences. And I think we then need to respond to that. So either women's criminality is directly linked as a consequence of that, or it's as a consequence of the kind of coping mechanisms that women have developed to deal with that trauma. And so we need a justice system that's able to unpick that. And I would say wider than that, we need a community, a society that's able to unpick that, because actually if we were able to be there for the women at the point of victimisation or before victimisation, probably the criminality wouldn't occur as a consequence. Or if somebody's already been victimised, there's appropriate support there so that women's trauma responses don't then involve criminality. So it's really complex and I think difficult to try and unpick. And of course, there are men that experience trauma as well. But we know that the way that men and women experience trauma is different, and therefore a trauma-informed approach when we're talking about working with men involved in the criminal justice system will probably look different. I'm saying probably because I don't think that there's a lot of research that kind of explores that. So, you know, earlier on we were talking about why is it important that we've got research that prioritises women's experiences. The reason that it's important is because for a long time, women's experiences were either ignored in the research or they were subsumed. And so it has been really important to generate that body of research that focuses on centering women's experiences. So in the same way, of course, the evidence base generally needs to be developed, but we need to think very carefully about those gendered differences.
Thank you. Thank you, Julie.
I totally agree. And one of the things about women in prison, different, their experience different to men, apart from the infrastructure about, you know, women in themselves being housed in, you know, facilities that is not really designed to support women's personal experience, I think that we still have a situation where women are really judged for being in prison differently, I think, to men still judged within the courts, still judged within prisons, and therefore judged by the wider society. I don't think we have lost the, is it mad, sad or bad idea of women who commit crime. I think they're still seen in that. And then particularly if they are mothers, then again, that experience is very, very different from the male experience. And I mean, it's just small things that we all know about. It's that usually when men are in prison, women, their partners, if they're in a heterosexual relationship, will usually have the children, and they often bring the children to see them. When women are in prison, this is very different, because if they're in a heterosexual relationships, often that relationship breaks down and their children maybe are in care or with carers, and they refuse to bring the children up to see them. So there's a lot of judgment, I think, that it brings shame, and that just kind of brings the trauma that we're talking about in women's experience of prison and probation, I would say, that we haven't moved past yet.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Rose. In terms of Women Holly programs, what do you think are the main characteristics or benefits of this kind of programs?
Again, it kind of goes back for me about those principles of being gender responsive and trauma informed. So just to kind of draw on a couple of ways that we can do that. We know that relational harm is a significant factor in pathways into criminality for women, but we also know that relational repair is a significant pathway out of offending. One of the really important things about female-only programs is that they support the development of positive, healthy, strong connections, and that should not only be with staff, but that should be with peers as well. So women are given the opportunity to develop those relationships with each other and support each other is so important. I guess another reason why a women-only space or a women-only program is really important is because we don't know at what point somebody is in recovery from trauma. So if you're still in that survival mode, in all likelihood, that survival mode is there because you've been you've experienced abuse perpetrated by men. So we have to work on this assumption that that's where somebody's at, and we have to create a space that's safe, and that has to be a female-only space.
I think I would definitely agree with that. The a female-only space or program, one of the benefits or the main characteristics is around that understanding the trauma that women experience in their lives and through the criminal justice system, and other women understand that, you know, no one understands that better than other women. And that is what creates a safe space. And that is what creates the opportunity for women to open up and heal. And that's, the research tells us that's what is required in order for women to move into a new narrative, that healing process that will take place. And I think in women-only spaces, it does afford you the opportunity to do that better than in mixed spaces. That's what all the research is telling us. And that's certainly my experience of working within those spaces as well.
Thank you. Thank you. And last question, how do you think male practitioners can support this kind of work?
Laugh about this question, actually. I sort of thought, well, I don't know. I Julie had a probably better answer than I did.
I think I had a bit of an emotional response to the question initially, and I think I'll give my emotional response and then I'll sort of explain it, really. I think that this is everybody's responsibility to support. And if I think about my experience of being a probation practitioner, the whole time that I worked in practice, the policy was that women worked with women. Because the proportions of women subject to community orders or licenses or that are in prison are very small compared to the amount of men, what that meant in reality is that I had a mixed caseload of men and women, and we worked within women's teams. So not only did men not work with women, but lots of women didn't work with women. And I think that then what happened is the responsibility for knowing about the evidence base and how best to work with women sat with those practitioners that held those cases. And I think systemically, you know, that we can't affect change without systemically things changing. So it's not the responsibility of a few core members of staff to kind of understand that evidence base. It's the responsibility of everybody working within that organisation. I think there are very interesting reasons why lots of women don't want to work with women. And I think that'd be a really great area to start unpicking in terms of research. But I think certainly what I then saw is that exclusion means that lots of misconceptions arise about how you work with women and why you work with women. And I was just reminded of an experience where a male colleague was on duty and came upstairs because he needed a female member of staff because a woman had presented unexpectedly to see the duty officer and he couldn't see her because he was a man. But he then said, I need somebody to come and see her because I don't want her to accuse me of doing anything to her. And I just thought, it's just such a gross misconception about why it is that we work within this way. So for me, it's a collective responsibility. Everybody needs to know how best to do this work.
I totally agree, because it is basically becoming aware, isn't it? We all have to become sort of gendered aware in our approach, trauma informed. We all have to do that. We all have to understand about how different people's experience, women's experience, intersect and their protected characteristics. And that's really what we're saying about the services, is that whoever works within those services, regardless of your personal gender identity, we want to become more aware so that we've got a more supportive environment to work within for the women that we work with. And that will be your colleagues as well as people that are using the service. So I think it is a kind of, it's a sort of a multi-pronged approach for us as practitioners to become aware of the issues that this group of individuals face.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I think it was a great discussion. Is there anything else you would like to add, any point outside the question that I ask? Or
I think it sort of goes back full circle a little bit for me in terms of sort of wrapping it up all together. I think that for me, one of the things that would be one of the areas where I still think there's a lot of silence is around how female practitioners experience the workplace, and whether that is in probation or whether that's in academia or, you know, indeed any other criminal justice agencies. But going back to that kind of point that I made initially is that, you know, we're all women in the world and we experience the world differently. So we have to be able in our workspaces to have open dialogue and discussion and acknowledgement of that. And we have to be able to be involved then in a co-creation of what our spaces look like when our needs are centered. So I think that's definitely a gap in research literature. You know, female practitioners and their experiences, that's a very marginalised voice. And then kind of thinking about what, I guess, in some ways, like challenging our perceptions of what knowledge creation is and how knowledge is created. That's not a kind of framework that's been created by women. That's a framework that's been created by men. And so I think, again, I'd definitely like to be part of a movement that kind of looks at actually what does this look, how can this look differently, essentially. And I think ultimately that would be important for the experiences of all women.
Definitely. And I would just say that, I mean, one of the things that we are very keen to do as academics is to apply the theory to practice. So any research that's undertaken around the area of women's experience just needs to be very practical. And this is why it's really exciting to involve people with lived experience within our research, so that it's applicable, it can be applied, and it means something, and it has impact, and it can make changes to the way we think or the way we practice. I think that's really important.
You have been listening to the INCJ podcast, Conversations about International Criminal Justice. To find out more, go to our website at criminaljusticenetwork.net or follow us on Twitter at INTCJ Network.